Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, November 13th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Stocks in Asia slump following yesterday's sell-off in technology shares.
U.S. futures rebound on hopes for progress in the U.S.-China trade dispute.
And oil extends its longest losing streak on record, falling for the 12th consecutive session.
The death toll continues to climb from the wildfire in Northern California. Plus, for the first time in 30 years, a Senate seat has flipped from red to blue in Arizona. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Giants finally got their second win of the season, a come-from-behind last-minute touchdown to win at San Francisco. The Rangers won, the Nets lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
And U.S. futures and European stocks are rebounding from yesterday's losses while the dollar slips from an 18-month high. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 8 points this morning. Dow futures are up 53, and NASDAQ futures up 30. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. CAC in Paris and FTSE 100 both up 0.25%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 2.1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 3.15%, yield on the 2-year 2.89%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.1% on $1.27 to $58.66 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% or $3.70 to $11.99.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.12.36, and the yen, 114.09. And this update brought to you by PGIM and the Search for Alpha. Partner with PGIM, the global investment management businesses of Prudential Financial, Inc. John.
And Karen, stocks in Asia are lower following yesterday's tech slump on Wall Street. Though the worst of the losses were paired on hopes for progress in the U.S.-China trade dispute. Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann has details from Hong Kong.
Good morning, John and Karen. It started as an ugly day, but Asian stocks regained some ground on Tuesday. That's after Bloomberg got word China's economic advisor Liu He and U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin have restarted talks on trade ahead of President Xi and Trump's meeting at the G20. The dollar lost steam. Stocks moderately climbed back. Chinese stocks stayed in positive territory, with the Shanghai Composite up nearly 1%. But tech was still the culprit, with Apple suppliers falling on new signs of weaker iPhone demand. Japan pared back its losses, but the Nikkei 225 ended the day down 2%. In Hong Kong, Yvonne Mann, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Yvonne, thank you. That word of a weaker iPhone demand came from Lumentum, which says a large customer asked to meaningfully reduce shipments. As Bloomberg's Ryan Vlastelica reports, Lumentum didn't name the client, but Apple is its biggest.
We know that there was a big cut in the outlook, and some analysts have speculated that this could mean a 30% cut in orders from the point of view of Apple. Now, this builds on a lot of other concerns that we've been seeing about what iPhone demand is going to look like from here.
Shares of Apple fell 5% in yesterday's session.
And Italian bonds are lower as Italy's government faces a deadline today to resubmit its budget plan to the EU. Now, Bloomberg's Kevin Costello reports from Rome.
Italy's populist coalition has been defiant. Deputy Premier Luigi Di Maio says following EU rules could trigger a recession. But the EU says Italy must follow those rules, otherwise the country may be facing a disciplinary proceeding. In Rome, Kevin Costello, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Kevin, thank you. In the UK, wage growth accelerated to a near 10-year high in the 3 months through September. Average earnings rose 3.2% from a year earlier, while UK unemployment unexpectedly rose to 4.1%. That's up from a previous 43-year low.
And oil extending its longest losing streak on record, falling for the 12th consecutive session after President Trump criticized Saudi Arabia's plan to cut output. A slump in U.S. equity markets and strength in the dollar also weighing on oil. oil, checking prices right now. NYMEX crude down 2.2%, $58.61 a barrel. The international benchmark Brent crude right now down $1.43 at $68.69 a barrel.
On the corporate front, Amazon has reportedly selected New York City and Northern Virginia as its second and third headquarters. That's according to the Wall Street Journal, which says Amazon may also set up major offices in additional cities. An official announcement could come as soon as today.
And shares of Goldman Sachs have slumped 11% since Friday as the fallout from its connection to Malaysia's one MDD scandal grows, and now Malaysia's stepping up the pressure on Goldman. Bloomberg's Raimi Innocencio has more.
There is this desire from Malaysia, their finance minister, Lim Guan Eng, saying, we want our money back, to the tune of about $600 million. Now, this is in regards to three deals that Goldman Sachs did for Malaysia with regards to 1MDB, totaling something along the order of about $6.5 billion in terms of debt deals.
Goldman Sachs hasn't publicly admitted any wrongdoing and says it's cooperating with authorities.
General Electric is another name we're watching after shares fell 6% yesterday. We're seeing unusually large trades in GE as its stock plunges, suggesting one or more major shareholders are trying to sell fast. Karen Ubelhart at Bloomberg Intelligence says there are also concerns about the company's credit rating.
I think the big worry is they go down a notch to below investment grade, and then money gets that much more expensive. So it's kind of a trust me thing at this point, and they're not trusting.
Shares of GE have lost about 15% over the past week.
Earnings from Home Depot this morning, a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Analysts are upbeat about the chain. Bloomberg Intelligence says Home Depot's streak of same-store sales gains likely continued over the summer. The pace of those gains may have moderated as last year's hurricanes threw off the comparisons and broader housing trends slowed. Transportation costs are seen as a continued drag on gross margin. Forecasters are looking for Home Depot to post a profit of $2.27 a share on revenue of $26.25 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. And futures this morning are moving higher. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. The death toll from the Northern California wildfire is now at 42. Officials say the dead were found in burned-out cars in the ruins of their homes or next to their vehicles, apparently overcome by smoke and flames before they could get to their cars and escape. Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey assures anyone whose home is still standing, their belongings are safe within it.
Of those 139 suspicious incidents, in 16 of them, the people reporting them classified it or characterized it as looting. In every case, we've sent officers out to investigate. To date, there has been no arrests made for looting.
Meanwhile, evacuations were lifted for Los Angeles neighborhood threatened by an enormous wildfire. A U.S. Senate seat in Arizona has officially been flipped from red to blue. Democrat Kyrsten Sinema beat Republican Martha McSally to win the seat being vacated by retiring GOP Senator Jeff Flake. Sinema says the campaign itself was a teaching experience.
During this campaign, I have been honored to meet with thousands of Arizonans in their workplaces, in coffee shops, and in neighborhoods. Listening to their stories reminded me each and every day why we do this work and how much there is left to do.
McSally conceded.
I wish her all success as she represents Arizona in the Senate. And I also want to say thank you to everybody who supported me in this campaign, my staff and volunteers and everybody who voted for me.
Sinema's win in the U.S. Senate race is the first for a Democrat in Arizona in 30 years. Hamas says it will step up attacks and fire rockets at Israeli towns if Israel continues to carry out airstrikes in Gaza. Bloomberg's Jonathan Furziger has more.
Just when it looked like things were brightening, the Gaza Strip is exploding again. Palestinians launched more than 300 rockets and mortars at Israel. It was the worst one-day barrage in 4 years. Israeli Air Force jets struck at least 70 targets across the territory, which is ruled by the militant Islamic group Hamas. It was just a day before that both sides said they were trying to work out a ceasefire. Jonathan Furziger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report, being brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, John Stashower.
John, the Giants hadn't won a game since September, and it didn't look like they were going to win last night. They fell behind at San Francisco 20-10, but rallied to tie, fell behind again, and then Eli Manning drove them down the field, helped by a couple of 49er penalties. Giants took their first lead of the night in the final minute.
Second down and one at the three of San Francisco. He gets the shotgun snap. He looks left. He throws a line drive pass, a leaping two-handed falling down. Catch at the goal line pylon. Touchdown! Touchdown to Shepherd! What a catch and what a throw! And the Giants have taken a lead with 53 seconds to go.
Kevin Harlan the call. Westwood won. 49ers had a chance on the final play. Couldn't convert, and the Giants finally get their second win of the season, 27-23. That TD pass was Eli Manning's third of the night. The other two went to Odell Beckham. Evan Engram and Saquon Barkley both with key catches during that final touchdown drive. At the Garden, Rangers pulled out a 2-1 victory over Vancouver. In Minnesota, the Nets fell 120-113. The Angels' Japanese import Shohei Ohtani, who pitches and hits, named American League Rookie of the Year, beating out Yankee third baseman Miguel Andujar. The other Yankee rookie, Gleyber Torres, finished third. The Braves' Ronald Acuna Jr. named the National League's Rookie of the Year. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. In other sports news, the National Hockey League has reached a nearly $19 million settlement with more than 300 retired players who sued the league and accused it of failing to protect them from head injuries, warning them of the risk involved with playing. The NHL, as it has for years, did not acknowledge any liability for the players' claims in the proposed settlement and can terminate the deal if all 318 players or their estates don't take part. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks and S&P 500 futures are recouping some of their previous session's losses on hopes for progress in the U.S.-China trade dispute, even as Asian shares slumped. Treasuries are climbing and the dollar slipping from an 18-month high. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 7.5 points. Dow futures up 52. Nasdaq futures are up 30. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. The 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 3.15%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.89%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.4% on $1.40 to $58.54 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.33%, down $4.50 to $11.98.90 an ounce. The euro is at $1.12.35 and the yen 114.11. And today we're watching for a report on small business optimism out at 6 o'clock Wall Street time. Home Depot and Tyson Foods are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. More than a dozen coroner search and recovery teams are looking for human remains from a Northern California wildfire that killed at least 42. Meanwhile, anxious relatives visited shelters and called police hoping to find loved ones alive following the blaze that destroyed the town of Paradise last week. After nearly a week of vote counting, Democrat Kyrsten Sinema defeated GOP opponent Martha McSally in the race for Arizona's Senate seat. Meanwhile, the recount battle for the Senate seat and governorship continues in Florida. In sports, a late comeback by Eli Manning helped the Giants beat the 49ers in Monday Night Football 27-23. In the NBA, the Nets lost along with the Warriors. The Wizards won. In the NHL, the Rangers were winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:20 on Wall Street. Good morning. Let's bring in our first guest this morning. From the Bloomberg Interactive Studios, I'm John Tucker. Drew Mattis joins joins us now on the line, the Chief Market Strategist for Investments at MetLife Services and Solutions. Drew, remind everybody, after yesterday's, 2% decline for the S&P 500, a little bit of risk back on this morning in the futures. What's the fundamental backdrop for equities?
The fundamental backdrop for everything is a U.S. economy that's humming along. Earnings numbers have been good. What we keep hearing people talk about is, well, it's peak earnings growth. Well, peak earnings growth doesn't mean peak earnings. So even if you believe that, you know, you're really walking away when money's still being made by a lot of firms. And you know, it strikes us that the markets are not reflecting the economic fundamentals right now.
Explain to everybody what happens year end. There is rebalancing. There are things that impact equities that don't necessarily reflect that fundamental backdrop, right?
There are always things that don't reflect the economic backdrop going on. So, you know, there is rebalancing. There are tax sales. People are harvesting gains. You know, in some cases, you know, people, might just be thinking to themselves, you know what, I made a decent amount of money. Maybe I'll just take some of the risk off the table. The issue with that is, as an insurance company, we're acutely aware of this, which is if we're managing our portfolio as an insurance company, you know, we have to be early, right, because we have such a big portfolio to kind of adjust. And when you have to do that, you have to kind of make decisions that are based on partial information, and you have to be comfortable doing that. And you know, fortunately, we have a lot of experience doing that. We are very comfortable doing that. But I think sometimes when people make, when people are kind of trying to take that longer-term view and they're used to having a shorter-term time horizon, it's very difficult for them to make that adjustment.
What do you have an investment thesis right now for the rest of us?
You know, the investment thesis is it's still okay to take risk. You just want to be taking smart risk. You want to make sure, you know, you've done your due diligence on the companies that you're investing in, and you know, for us, the bonds that we're buying. We want to make sure that we're very comfortable with the names that we're holding. Because, you know, in a downturn, one thing always holds true, which is that, you know, what you bought is and what you own is what you're going to take into that downturn. And you want to make sure you're comfortable with, you know, the fact that those firms can actually, you know, weather a storm. It's the same always. You want to make sure you invest intelligently. You want to take smart risk, not just take risk to try to get alpha.
What does a divided Congress mean for equities?
Well, you know, the standard theory goes that a divided Congress means that very little gets done. There's very little there are very few new regulations put in place. And, you know, therefore that's necessarily a positive in people's opinion. But, you know, right now the regulatory pendulum is actually swinging back. There's fewer regulations being added. And so, you know, it's not clear that it's going to mean the same thing that's meant in the past.
And as far as trade, how does that figure into the mix right now? Is that a big worry for you at this point?
Well, trade is a concern, and certainly the markets do not like noise on trade. But so far, you know, we've had difficulty teasing out, a change in our outlook that's material caused by, you know, the trade story that we're seeing. So far, there's been a lot of noise. There's been some progress, and there's certainly some risk still out there. But at the same point, you know, the U.S. economy is humming along pretty nicely right now. And if there's a time when we can tolerate the risk, this is probably the time.
Do you have an idea what growth is going to be like? What's the House view in terms of the quarterly growth in the U.S.?
Our house view is if we look at 2019 versus 2018 is still looking very healthy. We expect the year will end at 3%. growth for 2018, and we expect pretty much a repeat performance in 2019 at around 3%. I know there are some other forecasts out there from some very good shops that are actually higher than that, and we've got some sympathy for the a more positive view. But in this point, we do see trade as a risk. One of the main risks we see is just market volatility affecting people's psychology, and importantly, the psychology of people who make the hiring and investment decisions, because they're looking at their own stock and trying to figure out how to make sure they don't have a down day or they don't have a down quarter.
And volatility, as we look at it, right around 20, the VIX. Drew Mattis, Chief Market Strategist at MetLife. Thanks very much. We appreciate it. S&P futures right now, they are 10 points higher. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by the accounting and advisory firm Eisner Amper. Are you experiencing tax turbulence like most businesses? For a tax diagnostic and to connect to resources you need, visit EisnerAmper.com/tax turbulence.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks in Europe rising following yesterday's Wall Street sell-off, which saw the Dow fall more than 600 points.
Helping lift stocks this morning, progress in the U.S.-China trade dispute. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and China's Vice Premier Liu He resumed talks on trade. Bloomberg has learned that Liu may visit Washington before the nation's top leaders meet later this month.
Stocks in China reversed losses and gained 1% on optimism over those trade talks. But Apple suppliers were under pressure after the iPhone maker fell on signs of a deteriorating sales outlook. Bloomberg Daybreak editor Christine Burke.
Lumentum, it said that one of its customers was meaningfully reducing shipments. Wells Fargo estimated that that could mean a cut of as much as 30% in Apple orders. Remember, Lumentum is Apple's biggest client, so that's definitely spread concern far and wide.
Apple shares have fallen more than 12% since the company's earnings report on November 1st.
The oil sell-off continues this morning. Crude is lower for a 12th consecutive session after President Trump criticized Saudi Arabia's plan to cut output. Checking oil right now, NYMEX crude is down 2.4% at $58.49 a barrel. Brent is down 2.3% at $68.48.
And British pound sterling is pairing losses for the past 3 days as pressure builds on UK Prime Minister Theresa May to ditch her Brexit plan.
UK wage growth has accelerated to a near 10-year high. Average earnings, excluding bonuses, rose 3.2% in the 3 months through September. Unemployment unexpectedly rose from a 43-year low to 4.1%.
Today's the deadline set by the European Union for Italy to revise its budget. Rome says the expansive budget is needed to provide a stimulus to growth, but authorities in Brussels are concerned about what it will do to the country's debt.
Home Depot, Tyson Foods, and Advance Auto Parts report earnings today.
And Amazon reportedly may announce today that it has picked New York and Northern Virginia for its second and third headquarters. That, according to the Wall Street Journal.
And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 7 points. Dow futures up 43. NASDAQ futures up 27. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32nds. Yield 3.15%. The yield on the 2-year 2.89%. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $5.50 to $11.98 an ounce. And the euro at $1.1233. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's now 5:33. Let's get news from around the world. Once again, we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. At least 42 people are now confirmed dead from the huge wildfire in Northern California. Coroners say in some cases there were only charred fragments of bone so small that a wire basket to sift and sort them had to be used. Paradise City Councilmember Melissa Schuster tells ABC that the community remains evacuated.
It's so hard for people to understand why they can't go back to their homes. This all of Paradise, the entire community of Paradise, is a toxic wasteland right now.
Meanwhile, evacuations have been lifted for the Los Angeles neighborhood threatened by an enormous wildfire. After an extended vote count, a Democrat has been elected to the U.S. Senate from Arizona. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Kyrsten Sinema is the first Democrat from Arizona elected to the U.S. Senate in three decades. She's the first woman U.S. senator in the state ever and the first openly bisexual senator. The results were slowed because more than three-quarters of voters did so by mail. Sinema has tweeted that John McCain's example will guide the next steps. So this leaves the Senate at 51-47 for Republicans. Florida is in recount mode, and Mississippi will have a runoff. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Trial begins today in Brooklyn for El Chapo. Prosecutors say Joaquin Guzman ran the largest drug trafficking organization in the world. Chinese President Xi Jinping is looking to expand his nation's footprint in the Pacific this week. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports it comes as President Trump is staying home from a key regional meeting.
With President Trump staying away from Papua New Guinea, Xi is by far the most prominent among 21 leaders attending the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation meeting that starts Friday. He'll join with leaders from about a dozen Pacific Island countries in a show of strength. Xi has started pouring money into the cash-strapped region, leading to concerns that China will look to establish a military presence. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison has pushed back, last week announcing an infrastructure fund equivalent to nearly $1.5 billion and increased naval deployments to exert influence in what he called our patch.
A strong, stable region keeps us more secure.
Trump's absence has been seen as a missed opportunity for the U.S., which will be represented by Vice President Mike Pence. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thank you, Michael. Coming up on 5:36 of Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report. It's being brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, John Stashower.
John, neither the Giants or the 49ers are particularly good teams, but they put on a good show. Monday Night Football in Santa Clara, the 49ers had a 20-10 lead. The Giants rallied to tie. Niners went back ahead. And then Eli Manning, helped by a couple of Niner penalties, moved the Giants down the field. He connected with Sterling Shepard on the game-winning TD with less than a minute to play. Giants got just their second win of the season, their first in September, 27-23. Coach Pat Shurmur stuck with Manning when some were calling for his benching. Glad he did.
That's what Eli's really good at, is engineering those come-from-behind drives. And I thought that was terrific. You know, I thought he hung in there, made some really good throws, and got us in the end zone. And that's the mark of a quarterback.
Manning with three TD tosses. The first two went to Odell Beckham. Sacked only once. No Giant turnovers. And they forced two. Both were interceptions by B.J. Goodson, and both led to Giant scores. Now 2-7 as they come home to play a winnable game Sunday against Tampa Bay. The Jets are in their bye week. Reportedly, there are no plans to fire coach Todd Bowles now after the season. Could be another story the way things are going. At the Garden, Rangers pulled out a 2-1 win over Vancouver, who in the final minute had a power play and an extra skater but couldn't tie it up. Rangers, after the slow start, have won six of the last seven. The Nets finished their road trip 2-2. They fell at Minnesota 120-113. Of more significance, they lost Caris LeVert to a leg injury, had to be taken to the hospital. The Angels, Shohei Ohtani, rewarded for doing something no one's done since Babe Ruth. He hit and pitched and was named American League Rookie of the Year, beating out the two Yankee infielders, Miguel Andujar and Gleyber Torres. The Braves, Ronald Acuna, the NL's top rookie. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now, with the cover on what's ahead for the next 2 years of Donald Trump's presidency. Also in this week's issue, why the election of a record number of women in the midterms is just a first step toward a more diverse electorate. Rebecca Greenfeld wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
There's a record number of women who are going to be in Congress, and still 75% of the power will be held by men. The Congress should look like people more, like the U.S. electorate.
And you can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why? Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time, right here on Bloomberg Radio. And it is now 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. And let's check in this morning with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, John. Well, now that Newark, New Jersey, has apparently not been chosen for Amazon's East Coast headquarters, Governor Phil Murphy and other New Jersey officials are looking at the bright side. NJ Spotlight says they believe the state has already benefited by having Newark listed among the top 20 finalists announced earlier this year, bringing a lot of invaluable attention to the city's ongoing revitalization. In Hartford, city leaders have to figure out their next step now that the owner of a long-vacant Cineplex has rejected the town's offer to buy the property at a lower price. National Amusements agreed in May to sell the former Showcase Cinemas property as is for $3.4 million. New York Media, parent company of New York Magazine, will become the latest publisher to institute a paywall when it starts charging for access to its websites. The move to a metered paywall has been in the works for a year. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. John?
Thanks, Ed. 540 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that pilots say Boeing did not sufficiently warn of a 737 feature linked to the deadly Lion Air crash.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Kellogg is exploring the sale of its cookies and fruit snacks businesses.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm reporting on the plan by Macy's to make many of its stores significantly smaller.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the biggest rise for UK wages since 2008 amid a tight labor market.
I'm Steve Podisk, and on WJFK 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C., we're talking about Amazon's second headquarters in Northern Virginia.
I'm Ed Corey. On WWJ in Detroit, I'm reporting automakers are lobbying to have a tax credit for electric vehicles extended.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the globe. S&P futures right now up 11 points. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Withum Smith & Brown. Audit, tax, and advisory services helping you and your business be in a position of strength. Experience the Withum way by visiting Withum.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks in the S&P 500 futures are recouping some of the previous session's losses on hopes for progress in the U.S.-China trade dispute. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 11 points, Dow futures up 77, NASDAQ futures up 43. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32nds, yield 3.15%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.89%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.6% or $1.55 to $58.38 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $5.60 to $11.97.90 an ounce. The euro at $1.12.37, the yen 114.10. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a suburban questioning why a 26-year-old black security guard was killed by police. 26-year-old Jamel Roberson was on duty at his job at a bar over the weekend when an unruly customer who had been asked to leave returned with a gun. Roberson subdued the man and was holding him at gunpoint waiting for police, but when they arrived, they allegedly shot and killed Roberson instead. President Trump is said to have decided to remove Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen. According to the Washington Post, her departure is likely to occur in the coming weeks. In sports, a late comeback by Eli Manning helped the Giants beat the 49ers in Monday Night Football 27-23. In the NBA, the Nets lost along with the Warriors. The Wizards won. In the NHL, the Rangers were winners. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 549 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. And time now to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We are joined live now by Jennifer Ryan, the Bloomberg Opinion editor in our London Bureau. Jen, happy Tuesday morning to you. Let's start with our first story, and this takes some explanation. Elliott's Italian win leaves Ballor, a nuclear option. We're talking about the national carrier, the former national carrier of Italy. They lost the CEO, and it now looks like an activist shareholder, Elliott Management, has won a big battle. Explain.
I will explain. So we're talking here about Telecom Italia. The biggest investor in Telecom Italia is Vivendi, which is controlled by billionaire Vincent Ballore. However, Elliott has more seats on the board. The CEO, Amos Ganesh, was a Vivendi appointee, and it looks like Elliott's won a battle here. It's been fighting with Vivendi, the carrier's strategy, and now that the CEO is gone, it looks like Elliott's kind of won the day here.
Now, whoever becomes the new CEO faces a problem, right?
That's exactly right, because on the one hand, do they want to be seen as a corporate raider or even a stooge for Elliott, who's just going to come in and sell off vast chunks of the business? Or do they want to be remembered in Italy as the person that saved the former national carrier? There could be a happy middle ground here, but it's a kind of difficult to know where this is going to land. And the shares have actually been fluctuating today. And that suggests that investors are really having just as hard a time figuring out how to read this.
Oh, and surprise, surprise, Jan, the Italian government isn't helping.
I know, you would be surprised, wouldn't you? And the thing that's worth pointing out here is that it's actually the third biggest shareholder, so it's in a position to help. But what's been doing really is stirring the pot. The deputy prime minister said on Italian television, Di Maio, that he would like to see a single Italian player. And this kind of plays into Elliott's hands, which have been urging a sale of the fixed network business. And, you know, by making the Telecom Italia a political plaything, it really makes it hard for any CEO to get on and do his job. And that's a position that he's been in for quite some time.
Okay, so where does this leave the billionaire, Vincent Ballore?
Ballore, yeah. So, you know, what he's facing is a united front between Elliott and the Italian state. And so does he want to fight back against this? Well, if he wants to be proactive, really the only option is for him to call another shareholder vote on the composition of the board. But he's going to have to be quite careful about how he plays this, because the last time around, there was a lot of opacity in what the Vivendi story was and how appealing it would be to shareholders. So what he's going to have to do is be a lot more transparent about his long-term intentions for Telecom Italia.
Okay, let's talk about the sell-off yesterday. It was tech led the way, especially with Apple. The three-minute chat that wiped billions off stocks. Tim Colpin writes this story. He's taking a look at the rout in shares of the Apple supplier. What chat is he talking about?
This is a three-minute conversation on stage at the UBS Global Technology Conference in San Francisco. It was between a UBS representative and executives at Lumentum Holdings, which makes lasers for 3D facial recognition that's used by major smartphone makers. The lesson here is that Lumentum, which announced a 17% cut in its December quarter revenue outlook, was facing with a cut by a big client, Apple, in its own outlook. And the issue here is that for a supplier, you can't really split the issue of excess inventory and weaker demand. They're related, and it's something that's very difficult for suppliers to deal with.
Okay, and you can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg terminal by typing OPIN Go. Jen, thanks a lot. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is 5:52 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Midsize and regional banks have a proposal before U.S. rulemakers to alter new requirements for setting aside money to cover expected loan losses. The proposal would lower the bank's burden to hold money in reserves. The Labor Department has asked a judge for more time to respond to a lawsuit challenging its now abandoned rule that allowed a business to count tips from customers toward the minimum wage it's required to pay. And the Labor Department has dropped an appeal of a court order that blocked an Obama-era rule directed at employers that try to dissuade their workers from unionizing.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's look at the future of the Mueller investigation under Interim Attorney General Matthew Whitaker, who, according to Bloomberg sources, will not cut the budget for the special counsel's investigation into election interference. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with Jeffrey Kramer, managing director at the Berkeley Research Group.
Jeff, not only has Whitaker been an outspoken critic of the Mueller investigation, but he has said that Marbury versus Madison was incorrectly decided and that the courts are an inferior branch of government. What's your reaction to his appointment?
Well, there's a lot to unpack. I think my reaction is probably consistent with a lot of what maybe some of my former colleagues have written and discussed. There's a couple levels. One, can he take over the Department of Justice constitutionally? He has not been confirmed by the Senate for this role, although he was confirmed as the U.S. attorney in Iowa, but that was what called an inferior position, if you will. In other words, doesn't report directly to the president. Although he's an interim, there's really no emergency here that warrants that. When you do have two people, Rosenstein as well as the Solicitor General, who have been confirmed. So that's the first layer. The second layer is, can he take over the Mueller investigation? And that gets to a host of issues, including conflicts of interest, as well as perhaps where his loyalties lie.
So, Jeff, can the Internal Ethics Department at the Justice Department, the same department that told Jeff Sessions he should recuse himself from the Mueller investigation, can it just start an inquiry on Whitaker's possible conflicts of interest, or does there have to be a request from a specific person or department?
Usually there has to be a request to the ethics area. Now, the inspector general can look at it, but there's no reason for him to do that yet. No action has been taken by Whitaker. So while the ethics officer can opine, it usually comes in the after someone requests an ethics opinion. Now, again, as it stands now, Mr. Whitaker can do what he wants. The ethics opinion is just that. It's an opinion. It doesn't have the force of law. And it's easy to slow walk something at the Department of Justice. I don't expect an edict to come out firing Mueller, but you can certainly slow walk things. So none of this is news, I would imagine, to Mr. Mueller. So we don't know whether there were already cases in the hopper. They could be sealed. There already could be grand jury testimony taken, obviously, on some items. But we are in uncharted waters with a man that doesn't even believe in the concept of constitutional review by the judiciary.
That's Jeffrey Kramer, Managing Director at the Berkeley Research Group, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. John.
And Karen, 5:57 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg ETF report, being brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. Here's Pim Fox.
No matter what, Vanguard seems to be able to haul in the cash. Here to tell us more is Eric Bauchunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. Well, Eric, they're very good at reeling in money.
And they're good at training, or at least finding, the most disciplined investors. Look, October, which I'm now calling Shocktober, because it was the worst month for the S&P since 2011, and Vanguard took in $15 billion, and a good chunk of that was in their equity products, including equity ETFs.
Which just keeps rolling along.
Yeah, they just attract investors that are really into behavior, really into just convincing each other not to sell. And it's showing. And they've taken – look, I'm not surprised they took in money in February during Volmageddon. And guess what? They took in money every month in 2008.
$15 billion.
Yeah. And in 2008, they took in $90 billion for the year. This company is a machine. That's why in a bear market, look, Vanguard will really grab market share.
Thanks very much. Eric Bauchunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. This has been the Bloomberg ETF Report. I'm Pim Fox.
All right, thanks, Pim. And ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures, after yesterday's 2% sell-off, right now 13 points higher. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.